You're listening to Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. 52 years ago this week, the world lost Walter Elias Disney. He, of course, was the animator and entrepreneur who built an entertainment empire launched in 1928 by a cheerful little mouse whose name was meant to be Mortimer, but who wound up named Mickey. Walt Disney's death became the source of some very strange urban legends. University of Michigan medical historian and PBS contributor Dr. Howard Markell is back with us. So Walt Disney was only 65?
Yeah. Now, the lifespan in 1966 was markedly less than it is today, of course. Walt was a chronic smoker, many, many packs of unfiltered cigarettes a day. And, you know, from early on, like when he was in World War I as an ambulance driver. And his peers or his colleagues knew when he was coming down the hall because Walt had such a hacking cough, you know, that smoker's cough. So he had a lot of issues related to chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, emphysema, and so on.
And toward the end, I remember this because I was a regular watcher of that Sunday night Wonderful
Best
World
of
Disney.
Week.
It
Best
was
part of the week.
Followed by Ed Sullivan.
That's right. That's right.
But we digress. Viewers were noticing because he would always do an introduction to the show. He wasn't looking good.
Yeah, I mean, Walt, in his Midwestern, unassuming way, used his story for his television show in a way that's become textbook now for CEOs of all kinds of businesses. But Walt was avuncular, and he was, after all, Walt Disney, who introduced us, our children, our grandchildren, to so many neat stories and characters. So he did the intro to The Wonderful World of Color on NBC Sunday nights, and he began to look rather haggard. And he also, his voice was kind of getting gruff and sore. So people, how you doing, Walt? Fan letters, you know, how you doing, Walt?
Ultimately, it led to a trip onto the operating room table.
Well, yes, he went across the street, classic mogul. They're too busy to get sick. There was a hospital directly across the street from the Disney Studios in Burbank. He had a regular x-ray, nothing fancy, and they found a walnut-sized mass in the left lung. So they he went back to the studio, cleared his desk, finished a few things, and then went back to have a large portion of his left lung removed.
What else was found then?
Problem was it was bronchogenic cancer, and this is a fancy way of calling it lung cancer. He also had enough spread or metastases into the lymph nodes and other parts of his body, which is particularly in 1966, that was a death knell. There was very little anyone could do for lung cancer if they had a lot of time and notice. Yeah. But this stage was really an end game.
And he did try to struggle back and keep working. But as you say in your piece here, the chemotherapy drained him, the cobalt x-ray.
Oh, yeah. Cobalt x-ray makes radiation look like a trip to the beach. Mm-hmm. I mean, the early x-ray treatments were strong, too strong. They had not yet figure that out.
So within a month, he was gone.
Yeah, he died of circulatory collapse is what the death certificate says. He probably had a massive heart attack. You know, you have less lung capacity because of the removal of it. You have cancer. You don't know what that's doing. The strain on his heart, years of smoking, atherosclerosis, the stresses of being a Hollywood mogul, et cetera, led to his demise.
So December 15th, 1966, he dies. But then things take a weird turn. Tell us about how these strange urban legends began, what they are.
Well, really, very early on, a few months after he died, some reporter for one of those tabloids claimed he had gotten into St. Joseph's Hospital. That's where Walt was being treated. Got himself an orderly outfit. Sounds like a Seinfeld episode.
It does.
Broke into a storage room where he saw Walt suspended in a cryogenic chamber filled with liquid nitrogen. So Disney on ice. So
Disney on ice. And you Google that, and that does pop up that, oh, yes. That legend. So that persisted that Walt was cryogenically frozen waiting for a cure?
Yes. And there was a book that came out right around that time. It's a lot more science fiction than science. You are free to get an expert on cryogenics. I'm not that guy. But I don't think they're thawing out people anytime soon.
But we do know Slugger Ted Williams and his son John Henry were frozen, weren't they?
Well, that's even more complicated. They say his head was frozen and the body is somewhere else. And now there's been, I looked it up, there's some concern that the head has been removed. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's a very weird theory, and it has persisted forever. It was even used in a couple of, there's a lot of Disney biographies. And in a couple not so reliable ones, they advanced this theory as if it were fact.
Is research still happening on cryogenics? Is that still something that some researchers are saying someday we should be able to freeze someone and keep them on ice until they find a cure?
Well, I think you have to separate. I'm sure there are someone who's saying it would be great if we could freeze somebody and thaw them.
Yeah.
I'm sure at cryogenics plants or institutes or whatever, they are doing work on it. I am completely ignorant of what might or might not be done, and I am prepared to meet my maker when that day comes.
But meantime, if we talk about Disney on Ice, we are not talking about Walter Elias Disney.
No,
we're talking about skaters.
No, let's end that.
Let
him rest in peace. In fact, he was buried at Forest Lawn. He was cremated and buried. And his daughter said, I don't think Walt even knew about cryogenics, let alone wish to be frozen. It's just nonsense. So I think that's the best source.
So I as far as that urban legend of cryogenics, just let it go.
Let's hope so. I think we could have this discussion a year from now. It would still be around.
University of Michigan medical historian, Dr. Howard Markell, thanks so much.
Thank you.